This morning's public reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16, as we continue to move along in our journey in this part of God's ancient covenant people's history. We're going to be reading verses 14 to 23 and will therefore conclude 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 to 23, this is the word of God. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is come upon thee, that he shall play with his hands, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto the servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he had found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Please be seated, and may God bless His word. We're going to entitle this, An Evil Spirit from the Lord. Write that down. Now, I would imagine, maybe for a young believer, and possibly reading this portion of the Old Testament for the very first time, would definitely be taken aback by what we just read, especially if they're young and they're not fully grounded in the Bible, and will automatically assume that something is wrong here. Why would God, who's supposed to be good and holy and righteous and drips with love, why would such a God send an evil spirit to bother somebody? Well, beloved, we've been reading now the first 16 chapters of the book of Samuel, and you ought to have at least a little bit of context behind you to understand what's going on here. Now, for the mature believer, listen carefully, here's how the mature believer will approach this troubling passage. Number one, he understands that God not only is the creator, but he is the governor and the sovereign ruler over all things. Point one. Point two, God's nature is such that God can do no evil. God cannot cheat. God cannot steal. God cannot lie. God is holy. His very nature, his very being, his very essence is holiness, perfection. It's immutable. It doesn't change with the wind. And then we have, thirdly, the words of even Abraham to the Lord Jesus, way back yonder in Genesis 18. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So everything that God does is always right. But at times, from our vantage point, it troubles us because we do not understand all of the ways of the Lord, because we got a finite brain between both of our ears. Our finite minds, beloved, cannot fully comprehend the infinite and the eternal. And so there are some things, beloved, that by faith we simply bow to, knowing all those things I just gave you, just in passing. But what else can we say about the context here? Up until this point, King Saul has lost the kingdom. We've already seen that in the previous chapters. He's disobeyed a very clear command from heaven to Samuel to Saul. And Samuel has been grieved, greatly disappointed, to the point of not even praying for him. But he's whining and moaning over this disaster, this first king. He's a total blip. And what does God say? Why are you whining over Saul? Get up. I found me another king, and I want you to go and to anoint him. We saw that in our last reading. So put it in context. God here is not dealing with somebody who makes obedience a way of life. God is dealing with a man who is now outside God's protection, if you will. And as a judgment, God sends in verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Wow. Remember when he was initially anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him? I think that was mentioned more than once when he was initially anointed by Samuel the prophet. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So notice, the Spirit of God leaves him. That creates kind of a void or a vacuum where something has to fill it. So what does God do? He sends an evil spirit simply to aggravate or to trouble Saul. Now notice in verse 15 that the servants of Saul are able to make the same diagnosis. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. So these individuals somehow had some type of spiritual discernment. They were able to put their finger on the problem. And then they give a remedy. Notice, music comes up. So it would seem, and if you're a person who's been around the block, you know that music has always been used to control people. Whether our Native American friends do before going on the warpath, they had a powwow. They get together, dancing around the fire, beating the drums, and singing whatever tunes that they would sing constantly to get themselves into a frenzy, and then to go out and make a raid, and to do a little bit of killing. What do you find in jolly old England, when Britain went to war with our colonial ancestors? What was up in front? Bagpipe and drum. That keeps you in step. When I was in the military and we went on parade, it was understood, beloved, that that left foot should always hit the ground when the drum went boom. And that's how you kept your cadence and your timing. Listen to the boom. Left foot hits the ground, boom. Left foot, boom. The music kept you in cadence. We know that some music is very soothing to the mind. They've made experiments where they put certain plants in a certain room with classical music in one room, and the other one is some acid rock bang boom music. And what did they find in the course of time? Those plants left in the room with the classical music flourished and were hardy and grew. The ones with the acid rock boom and bang shriveled up, stunted, didn't grow. When a child is crying, does the mother play rock music to calm the little crying baby? No, she sings a lullaby, a melody, soft, soothing music. And what happens to the baby? He or she settles down and falls asleep. So we know that music does have a medicinal effect upon people. The Beatles, when they went on concert, how do you say this and to be delicate? They would tell the people who ran the concert exactly the behavior of the women the women especially, when the Beatles would get on stage and sing a certain music. And guess what? The Beatles got the result from the women audience. Yeah. So we shouldn't be alarmed when they says, find someone that can play skillfully and soothe the savage beast. That's basically what they're saying. And then somebody tells them about a certain individual. Now let's look at verse 18. Beloved, here we get more of a snapshot of King David to be, or David the shepherd. Let's see what other people were saying about the man. Ready? We find out that he's the son of Jesse. And notice the very first thing on David's resume, he was cunning in playing. That has no reference to dominoes or cards. His harp, a lyre, a stringed instrument. And guess what? The majority, if not all, the psalms that David composed, which we have in the Old Testament, were songs, poems, written by him and sung with the aid of a stringed instrument. So, notice, cunning in playing doesn't mean he played tiddlywinks. A mighty, valiant man. What is a mighty, valiant man doing tending sheep? Shouldn't he be in the army? A man of war. And what do we find? Why was David prohibited in building the first temple? What did God tell him? You're a man of war with bloody hands. A prudent in matters. Very wise man. And comely in person, meaning he was a very handsome man. But then notice, the Lord is with him. Now take verse 18, the last phrase, and did you catch this? Look at verse 14. What does verse 18 say? The Lord is with David. And what does verse 14 say? Oh, the Spirit of the Lord has departed from you, Saul. Notice the contrast. Notice the contrast. So then Saul asks, or sends a letter, a messenger, whatever. He emails Jesse and says, I need the service of your son. I need his service. And then notice in verses 20, this was customary. David does not go empty-handed. He brings the kid, he brings the king some choice bread, a nice bottle of wine, and a kid or a sheep. All right? So off David goes. David comes to Saul, stood before him, and notice, I want you to notice this initial reaction on the part of Saul, just like when I reminded you to look at Saul's initial reaction when he became king. Starts off great. This starts off great. Notice, he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Beloved, you don't get any closer to the king than either an armor bearer or a cupbearer. Those are two people that are basically the king's shadow. In essence, David was his bodyguard. Carried his armor. Saul said to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he had found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, notice, the evil spirit comes upon Saul, David took his harp, played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and then and only then did this aggravating spirit leave him. So notice that there's also means in God's kingdom. Not only did God send the evil spirit to plague Saul, God also provided the means to heal him. And that was David with a harp playing cunningly music on the instrument to soothe the savage beast. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.